This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out with his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The true gospel of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the word of the life. Okay, be seated, please. I say good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Don. Have you ever lost your balance? Have you ever driven a car that had unbalanced tires? When a tire is out of balance, it can affect a lot of things. Sometimes we lose our balance on ice and we fall. Sometimes we lose our balance in life and we fall too. One of the most neglected areas in our life is solitude. We live in a world where business and activity is the norm, but you don't hear many people talk about silence and solitude, do you? But do you know that silence and solitude were a regular pattern of life for Jesus? Jesus found time for silence and solitude, even in the busyness of his life. How many of you like peace and quiet?
Amen.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah.
If I take my watch out and say, "Okay, what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes is be perfectly still and quiet. There will be no talking. There will be no looking around. Also, there will be no sleeping. Sleeping does not count for silence and solitude. All you can do is sit there and be still." Do any of you think you would be uneasy with that request?
I would.
I think that some of us would shudder at the thought of absolute silence, absolute stillness.
Mm-hmm.
In our fast-paced world, silence and solitude don't usually make it to the top of our priority list. So, what is solitude? Just as fasting is the abstinence from food for spiritual purposes, solitude is the withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. Solitude and silence, like peanut butter and jelly, the two just go together. Even when we don't fill our lives with people, we can fill our lives with noise, having the TV or radio on to keep us company or for background noise. In modern times, we have every convenience to fill our ears and our eyes with noise which serves to drown out the voice of God in our ears and the image of God from our eyes. True solitude removes ourselves from company, but it also removes ourselves from other distractions as well. There's nothing better than spending time in solitude with God. When life gets really busy, and even when it doesn't, my heart cries out for a day or just a portion of a day when I can get away on my own and be with God. Nothing replenishes my soul like solitude. There are times, although few and far between, when I'm able to get out with William, just the two of us, either to do something special or to run errands. Inevitably, during these times, he will say to me, "I really like these times when we're together, just you and I." When I can get away for extended periods of solitude, inevitably, I say to God, "I really like these times when we're together, just you and I." Our fear of being alone drives us to noise and crowds. We keep up a constant stream of words. We buy radios that strap to our wrists or fit over our ears so that if no one else is around, at least we're not condemned to silence. T.S. Eliot analyzed our culture so well when he wrote, "When shall the world be found? Where will the world be? Where will the word resound? Not here. There's not enough silence." But loneliness or racket are not our only alternatives. We can cultivate an inner solitude and silence that sets us free from loneliness and fear. You see, loneliness is inner emptiness. Solitude is inner fulfillment. Solitude is more of a state of mind and heart rather than a physical place. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "We are so afraid of the silence that we chase ourselves from one event to the next in order not to have to spend a moment alone with ourselves, in order not to have to look at ourselves in the mirror." There is great value in seeking silence and solitude in our lives. In this fast-paced world, it is not uncommon for most of us to miss tranquil times of quiet. Many of us always seem to be in a rush. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Jesus used silence and solitude quite a bit during his life and ministry. He didn't get away by himself, he just got away from people. And he used silence and solitude as a means of getting closer to God so as to minister more effectively to people. He knew that he needed to maintain a close relationship with God if he wanted to be effective in his ministry. He wanted a close relationship with the Father. He wanted to hear God whisper. He wanted to hear that still small voice of the Father speak to him. So he sought solitude and silence so that he could hear God's voice with clarity. Here are just a few times and places we find Jesus in solitude. Solitude at the beginning of ministry. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the scripture tells us Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. From Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, if you recall, this event took place right after the baptism of Jesus, where the heavens opened and a voice came down from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus then seeks solitude and silence. And in the process, he is tempted by Satan. Silence and solitude, your quiet time with God, will help you resist Satan. Do you recall how Jesus resisted Satan? Do you remember? Jesus resisted Satan using Scripture. Where did Jesus learn Scripture and its application? From the study of the Scripture and from quiet time with God. Nothing can substitute in your spiritual growth for your quiet time with God. God wants to have a relationship with you, and that relationship is enhanced by the time you spend with Him. Seek solitude and silence in building a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Solitude before making important decisions. Now, the second example of the silence and solitude of Jesus is right before he goes out and chooses the 12 apostles. Now, it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Now, It is never a bad idea to pray before making major decisions in your life. Jesus did. Jesus sought silence and solitude with the Father before he chose the 12 apostles. Now, solitude at the death of a close friend. Now, you recall the story of John the Baptist. He, Herod, sent and had John beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took away his body and buried it. And they went and reported to Jesus. Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Matthew chapter 14, verse 10 through 13a. At the hearing of the news about the death of John the Baptist, Jesus sought solitude and silence. The storms of death will more than likely, touch each and every one of our lives. For many of us, it already has. A parent, a grandparent, a sibling, a spouse, a friend. We can and will be touched by death. And it is at those times that we may need to seek silence and solitude with our Father in heaven. We need His strength and support as we travel through the valley of the shadow of death. I know this was true of Jesus, and I know that in difficult times we must seek the Father as well. Now, the second incident takes place later on in the same chapter. It seems that Jesus' popularity kept growing, and so did the demands of the crowd. Solitude at the pressure of popularity. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Popularity had its own pressure for Jesus. So does the fast-paced world we live in. On July 7, 2009, a private service was held at Forest Lawn Cemetery at 8 a.m. for Michael Jackson, also called the King of Pop. The Los Angeles Police Department blocked all traffic as the motorcade proceeded from Forest Lawn to the Staples Center, where the public memorial ceremony was to be held. The LAPD spent over $1 million providing police protection for the event. Literally millions of people from around the world mourned at the news of Michael Jackson's death. Today, because of his popularity, Michael Jackson's burial site remains a mystery. Popularity has its pressure. As the popularity of Jesus increased, so did the demands placed upon him. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus heals a man who was full of leprosy and warns him not to tell anyone of the healing. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Daily demands can drain us. The fast-paced world we live in is filled with pressure. There are times we all need to seek silence and solitude to help us recharge our batteries for the challenges that may lie right around the corner. Daily pressures can take a toll on us. I know that Jesus sought solitude because of the demands on his life. Perhaps we should too. Solitude before significant events. Jesus came as a servant. He came humbly, born to humble parents. Yet, in one instance in his life, his glory was revealed. That instance was the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. The scripture tells us, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, in this instance, Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And what happened before the transfiguration? Well, Jesus sought solitude with three of his disciples and with his heavenly Father, and shortly after, the glory of Jesus is revealed. Bible scholar Warren Wiersbe said that the transfiguration of Christ is one of the key events in his earthly ministry. This was the only time in his glory, veiled in human flesh, was allowed to shine forth. Transfigure is the same as our English word for metamorphosis, and means a change from within. The glory was not the reflection of outward light, it was the revelation of inward glory. The glory of Christ was revealed at the transfiguration, and before the transfiguration, Jesus sought silence and solitude. Now, solitude before facing death. Jesus knew his Father had sent him here, and that he was to give his life as a ransom for many. He knew that there would be an arrest, a trial, and an execution. He knew what the future held for him. So he took a group of his disciples and went to a quiet place for solitude and silence. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray for over there." Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Now, none of us know when we're going to die. We really don't know for sure what tomorrow or even the next second holds. You may be going through good times right now or hard times. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death or walking on cloud nine. You may have your plans for the future all laid out. You may be living one day at a time. But the most important thing you can do is build a relationship with God. Now, silence at the storms of nature. There's an incident that takes place in Matthew chapter 14 that I think should also be mentioned. It is the story of Jesus calming a raging sea. He had sent them ahead of him, but the Bible says that the little boat was battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. But what happened next was truly a miracle. Jesus came to them, walking on the water. Of course, all of you remember that Peter asked Jesus if he can walk on the water with him, and Jesus says, "Come." Of course, Peter does, and then he begins to sink. Jesus reaches out his hand and saves Peter from the sea. But do you remember what happened next? It is found in verse 32. When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And not only does Jesus practice silence and solitude, he can provide silence in our raging life. He can give calm even in the midst of chaos. The storms of life will often batter us, but Jesus can provide peace in the midst of our pressures. Look at Psalm 89. "You, God, rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." In the book of Job, it says, "All by himself, he stretches out the heavens and strides on the waves of the sea." God can provide calm even in the midst of calamity. What does God tell us to do when the stress and pressure are pushing us over the edge beyond our breaking point? Well, the Bible says, "Be still." In the midst of it all, God says, "Be still." Now, have you noticed the amount of noise in our lives? There are so many things begging for our attention. There are radios everywhere in your house. People carrying them on their hips when they're walking or running. Often we can't seem to start our cars without turning on the radio. Your children want your attention. The boss wants to talk to us. We have phones constantly ringing and sending out notifications. When we leave the house, we carry one or even two with us so people can always get in touch with us. We walk in the house and turn on the TV so the house won't be so quiet. Someone once said we can summarize how most of us spend our lives in just three words: hurrying, worrying, and scurrying. But God says, "Be still." God can be your refuge. He can be your strength, but only if you stop long enough to listen. Only if you stop long enough to let him speak. Jesus got so much done during the 3 years of his ministry. He had people wanting his attention all the time. "Jesus, heal me. Jesus, come visit me. Jesus, teach me." And yet, he always found a way to have some alone time with God, to be quiet and still. Listen to what Isaiah says. "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Muddy water becomes clear if you only let it be still for a while." The same is true of us. When we sit still, the stillness gives God the opportunity to change our perspective. We're able to take the time to rethink our attitudes about people and events. It takes the world off our shoulders, at least for a short time, and interrupts our habit of constantly managing things and being in control, or at least thinking that we are. Seek him in silence and solitude. And when the storms come, you will be prepared. Jesus thought it was important for him to set an example for us by seeking solitude. So let's look at, quickly, six benefits of solitude. From one, we will gain greater strength from God. Look at what Psalm 34 says. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from my fears." Psalm 37 says, "The Lord is the Savior of the upright. He is their strength in the time of trouble." I don't know about you, but when times of trouble come in my life, I want to have as much strength as possible. Solitude, a quiet time alone with God, will help you will give you that much needed strength. Number two, solitude helps us hear the voice of God. God tells us to go to our closets when we pray. You remember that passage of Scripture where Jesus tells us to pray in our inner room? It is found in Matthew chapter 6. "But you, when you pray, go to your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Now, just to be clear, this passage of Scripture is not speaking against public prayer. Rather, it is acknowledging that there are times when we all just need to get away to spend private time with the Father. The Father wants for us to seek Him. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is seeking God. It says, "A great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." There are times when God speaks in a whisper. There are times that God speaks in a still, small voice. If we are filling our lives with noise, it's hard to hear Him. If we are filling our lives with activities, always staying busy, it's hard to see Him. I personally find the wee hours of the morning the best time to do my Bible study or meditation or simply thinking through some of the challenges that life has thrown me. Before another busy day dawns, I strive to spend some time alone with God. I found that stepping out of the busyness of life helps me hear God's voice better. John chapter 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know, and they follow me." We need to be still. We need to be silent. We need to seek solitude at times so that we can clearly hear God's voice. Solitude helps me build intimacy with God. When I have been alone with God, my relationship with Him becomes deeper, and I can worship Him better. My understanding of Him grows. Our intimacy with God is reflected by our commitment to God. Our commitment to God is reflected by the amount of time we spend with God. Jesus gives us the invitation to spend time with Him. When He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." We will gain trust. We will gain a greater trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Now, I have found in my own life, the more time I spend with God, the more I trust Him. He has always been faithful to me, even though I have not always been faithful to Him. The book of Hebrews tells us, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Faith is belief in action. If you really believe something, you act on it. The psalmist tells us, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken." To trust in the Lord takes faith. To wait in silence takes faith. To seek God in solitude takes faith. But the promise is, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Solitude helps me become spiritually restored. In this world, we get bumped, bruised, and battered. Jesus had the daily pressures that were wearing Him down, pressing in on Him. So He sought solitude with God. He knew that an intimate relationship with the Father would restore Him spiritually. And so He sought out God in solitude. The storms of life can leave us battered and crushed. But Jesus can spiritually restore us. The Gospel of Mark gives us different insights into the death of John the Baptist. Follow along with me as I read. "They brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while.' For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves." Do you see the invitation in this passage of Scripture? Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. Jesus still offers invitations. Jesus still says to us, come. Jesus stills the storms of life, because that is what He does. The invitation still stands. He still offers healing. Matthew chapter 11 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We will develop a deeper relationship with God. Setting aside time to be alone with God, quality time with God, will deepen your relationship with Him. God has always been a God of invitation. He always invites us to get closer to Him. Look to Isaiah chapter 1. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall now be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Matthew chapter 11 in the Message Bible states it a little bit different. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Now, how to practice solitude traditionally. I'm showing you how to practice solitude. Traditionally, Christians have called this practice having a quiet time. It is taking 10 minutes or so out of your day, finding a place that you can be alone and quiet yourself before God. Now start with 10 minutes, and then you may find that you want more time. Many people read and meditate on scripture or use a devotional guide to help them. The important thing is to get alone and recognize God's presence with you. It would be great to set a space aside as solitude space so that even when there are people in the house, if they see you in that space, they know that you are wanting as much solitude as can be afforded. Susanna Wesley, mother of a very large family, would, when she needed solitude, she'd bring her apron up over her head so that she could pray and read scripture without being bothered by the myriad of children. Once you have learned the discipline of solitude, you can steal solitude in the most everyday places when you get alone. Just try not turning on the radio when you get in the car. Recognize God's presence as you ride the elevator alone. Walk through a park and be conscious of walking with God. Our rest is in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. Our healing is in Jesus. Have you heard God's invitation? Have you heard Him say, come away with me, visit with me, let's get away for a while, meet me in solitude so we can be together alone. Seek Him today. Set some time aside to be alone with Him. He would like that. And I know that you will too. Amen.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
All right. Well, I promise we'll do that someday. We'll let you do that. Don't even look at that right now, because you know, guys, I fell and hurt my foot. Actually, broke my toe. So I'm kind of hobbling around here, and I'm not going to stand up here much longer and make it swell up anymore. So I'm just going to go over one thing. The announcements are getting off easy today. So I'm just going to fast forward some of these real quick. We know the announcements here. We do them every week. It's the same ones, except for the one we're going to go over again, which we went over in detail last week, but I want to go over it again with you. And it's this one coming up. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. Here, it's right here. Now,
oh, yeah.
Look at that crew. Yeah. We had fun. We had fun last year. Okay. November.
Watch
November the 4th, 2023. 83 days away.
Wait a minute. Hold up. It's less than that.
It was 100 something last week. It was, 90 something last week. Yeah. Yeah. 83 days. Now, anybody that's out there that wants to join us in the walk this year, this is our ninth year walking, 9 years. ACT.ALZ.org/go-to/DULC. Or simply just go to DallasDULC.com and click on the Walk to End Alzheimer's a link there. Okay? You can also, if you want to make a donation to us to help us, to sponsor us, which is the whole idea of this, to raise many funds for the cure, also go to DallasDULC.com and click on Walk to End Alzheimer's. You can either give it to the entire crew or you can choose out any individual you want to give it to. Look, guys. I'm pushing this year because I really want this to go well. And I want you to understand, we do great every year showing up. We do great volunteering, and I appreciate that. But I need you to make the money. We need to be out there raising some funds. Ask people. Open your mouths. It's a great time not only to talk about Alzheimer's, but when you do that, you say, hey, my church is walking into Alzheimer's. And they start asking about the church, and it's a great way to talk about the church. That's all I want to say about that. I know that y'all know how important it is to me. I know it's important to y'all as well. We have a lot of fun doing it, but it is for a very, very good cause. And I'm grateful that we all do it. 9 years is a long time to be doing it. I want it to be our last year. I really do. I want it to be our last year to have to do it. Okay? All right. So let us rise for our dismissal.